Is that you, Rich?
Love Talk Radio.
Rich?
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency
tax
and the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is
Missouri
drawing near.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Hey, Richard. Glad you could join us on the show tonight.
Nothing like waiting until the last minute.
Actually, it was the last 10 seconds to be accurate.
I couldn't find my phone. I'm running all over the house trying to find the stupid phone. My wife, she takes them out of the room when she's sleeping during the day. And
you know what?
And I couldn't find it.
What would we do if we couldn't blame our wives?
You
know what I'm saying? We'd be able to. We would. I guess we'd have to get a dog. We've both got those. Not trying to compare a wife to a dog. Don't go.
I got those too, but they don't do nothing with phones
right.
Ever.
We live in a day that you have to qualify everything. Everything.
Yep.
You can't leave anything to imagination. And pretty soon it's out there. He said this. Oh my gosh. But everything going good.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All kinds of stuff going down today.
Well, I tell you what, since the election, it's been nonstop, it seems like. But, yeah, today was a pretty interesting day.
We had Jim DeMint leaving, or at least announcing his resignation from the Senate to take up to head the Heritage Foundation. I believe he's supposed to be leaving in January, and that is caught a lot of people by surprise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that this morning, and I thought, I thought, what's going on with that? Because Jim DeMint, for a number of years, has been one of the standout constitutional conservative, government people in Washington. And I thought, oh, that's not good.
Sure. No, I mean, Jim DeMint, a lot of people may not remember this, but I mean, he kind of spoke out against some of the party heads whenever he backed Rubio originally in his first run. So, he backed Rand Paul. Mitch McConnell actually was backing Rand Paul's opponent in the primary. Jim DeMint came out in favor of Rand Paul. So there's a lot of he didn't always toe the line by no means. And I'm sure that there's something that may actually be happy to see parting just because, a lot of people don't like that.
No, and that, I think exactly what you're talking about is the, what I refer to as the establishment part of the party wasn't real keen on some of these youngsters coming in there and, hoping to change things around back to more constitutionally limited government like was expected when they were voted in, and it doesn't go well. And, yeah, you're right, Jim DeMint wasn't afraid to speak out in favor of these young guys that were coming in, the fresh blood who didn't quite have the same ideas as the folks that have been there for 20, 30 years running the show.
And he was also outspoken on some of the financial issues, too, that face this country. So that was another thing that the ones that I guess want to go along to get along are going to not miss.
Well, so these next 2 years, well, what happens between now and 2014, it's going to be very interesting to see, because I think if the folks like Jim DeMint and the Tea Party type folks don't get the respect and don't get the opportunity to work, I think you're going to see an even bigger change come 2014. At least that's what I hope for.
Well, speaking of some of that change, the budget committee had changes on that too in the House. Of course, there's been a lot of disgruntlement over the fact that the U.S. Rep. Justin Amash was removed from that. As a matter of fact, he heard about it in the press first before he was told. I mean, it's never a good way to find something out new.
No.
But unfortunately, it's a day and age to live in. What some are thinking or, you know.
Hey, Kevin, I don't know if you can hear this, but you're coming through on my end really choppy. I don't know if I sound okay to you, but I'm getting kind of cutting out from your end.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you hear me? Am I coming through good?
No, you're coming through great.
Okay. Maybe it's my phone. That could be. I can still get what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't know if the audience can hear that.
Oh, I got you. Well, let me know if it doesn't get better. I'll do a couple of things. I'm not in studio tonight. I'm trying a couple of. I'm down in Freeburg, Missouri, and so I'm in a makeshift studio this evening. So maybe that's got something to do with it. But you sound great.
Okay. All right.
Did that string get kind of choppy right up?
It's still kind of. It'll get better for a short time, and then it gets worse. But I can still, I still know what you're saying.
Well, unfortunately, that doesn't really for good radio, though.
yeah, I don't know.
But hey, I've never stood in the way of radio.
Of good radio?
So tonight I got an excuse.
There you go.
Well, that's a shame because we've got Representative Dave Agema calling in this evening. You might have to partake of my conversation. I leave court to just responsibility on tonight. It'll be Richard Blowers.
is Dave out there this evening?
Dave's not. So Dave had prior commitments.
Okay. Yeah, I never know if he's out there until he pops in. So.
He's kind of like the deeds, right?
Yeah.
So
do we know what time the guest is coming on, Kevin? Or is this going to be? I know you said he was pretty busy today.
Yeah, he was tied up in committee meetings and other things early on, so it's kind of hard to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. Well, but some of the different things with Dave. In case calls into just he should call in. As long as he doesn't get hell over. He was hoping to be out by 7. You know how that stuff goes. Everybody loves meetings.
Oh yeah.
Again, he was a member of the Michigan House of Reps, but he's also currently a rep for the National Committee. So he's a representative for the National Committeeman for Michigan, and he also chairs the Top Gun Republican PAC. But, he was really helped out a whole lot by the Sons of Liberty movement did not like his opponent, and so he soundly defeated him as the Republican National Committee. And his opponent, rather, was Saul Inouye. He was not viewed as very friendly to Ron Paul at all, and they took a dislike in him. So, and I'm not going to say they didn't.
I just got a message that from somebody else, Kevin, and they said you sound like you're scuba diving. So maybe it is just not me.
Maybe it isn't. I may have to try to call in on a different line.
Are you at a hotel, I'm guessing?
I'm actually at the facility in Freeburg. So that again may complicate things, but I'll tell you what, what's on this scene? Or is there anything in particular that you want to kick around?
I was, as far as that Jim DeMint thing goes, I don't know if you heard any of this, continue on that line maybe, that I had heard that a guy named Tim Scott, who is a congressman, and he is a very, very conservative congressman from South Carolina, and the story that I had heard, and I would lean to thinking this is probably true with DeMint, that he wouldn't sacrifice his precious Senate seat unless he had an idea of who was going to come in his place. And I know that, he seems like a man of really strong character. So I'm hoping that he has worked something out and has a little say in who comes in his place, because Nikki Haley's pretty conservative also. And I wouldn't think they would want to turn that seat over to somebody who, isn't of the same inkling as ilk as Jim DeMint is. And I'd heard Tim Scott. I don't know much about him. I've heard the name before, but the short amount of time that I could look around today seemed like he was a pretty stand-up guy. So, if that's the route they go, I know they haven't announced anything, but maybe that way they can, assure that seat goes into a like-minded person, and then Jim DeMint can go on and, do his work at the Heritage Foundation, which is that's a superb organization that hopefully they'll be able to grow that. And, I heard the term today, instead of, we got a lot of think tanks around, we need a do tank. We need an organization that's going to come out and do something and compete against these left-leaning groups that seem to be able to do such a good job at getting their message out and convincing people that their message is the right message. And I think that's where we've been lacking here lately.
Alrighty. And certainly, hopefully, that is something that he can carry on. Maybe he may be able to do it more effectively. Richard, we're going to take a quick break, and let me see if I can't maybe get in here another line.
Okay.
But don't you go anywhere, brother.
I'm not going nowhere.
All right.
I'll be here.
We'll be right back on Hillbilly Logic with Richard Blowers and Kevin Harned.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
This is the Grassroots Minute. Governor Jay Nixon says expanding Medicaid eligibility in Missouri is both the smart thing and the right thing to do. Nixon announced his support for the expansion by saying it would provide health care coverage for an additional 300,000 Missourians. Well, Governor, the smart thing was for you to avoid the Affordable Health Care Act during the election and pretending to be a moderate candidate. You sure pulled the wool over the voters' eyes. Well, I even know some Republicans who voted for you. But if they knew the burden that you were willing to place on the backs of their children and grandchildren, they wouldn't have given you the time of the day, much less their vote. Smart move on your part, Governor. Now, the sad part is that along with the governor, several Republican legislators, State Representative Jay Barnes, Republican Jefferson City for one, have publicly announced support of establishing some form of Affordable Health Care Act. Despite 71% of voters in 2010 approving Proposition C, which rejected the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act's mandate, and this past November 6th, a 62% voter approval of Proposition E, which prohibits creation of a state health care exchange without authorization of the legislators or the voters. A policy analyst for Missouri Foundation for Health said because Obama was reelected, the law would continue to be implemented. Proposition E and Proposition C in 2010 really don't figure into this discussion at all. And those are just symbolic votes. To Governor Nixon and others who think going against the voters of this state is no big deal, we'll see just how symbolic our votes are. This is Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
And welcome back. Hey, Richard, if you can you tell me if this sounds any better?
Sounds better so far, Kevin.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to go this route. I had to get a little creative, but as long as you can hear me fine, we're about to be joined by Dave Agema. And I am very, very happy he took the time out of his busy schedule to call in and share his evening with us, or at least some of it. And with that, let's go ahead and bring in Rep. Stated Agema, and sir, thank you very much, Dave, for calling in this evening.
My pleasure. Be a little noisy here. I'm still on the House floor. We had a little exciting time here. We passed a right-to-work bill, so we're still working late here tonight. So,
you guys did, you say?
Yes.
And I wasn't even calling about that legislation, along with some of the other things. It's a busy, busy season, I guess. A lot of stuff going on. Michigan's a whole lot of stuff going on for the state of Michigan. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, first of all, let's introduce you a little bit, Dave. You are the Republican National Committeeman, correct?
That's correct, for the state of Michigan.
For the state of Michigan. And you also chair the Top Gun Republican PAC. Is that also correct?
That's correct.
And that may be, need a little further explanation. Just because it's been very difficult to find stuff on it. But you are a retired commercial pilot for American Airlines. You were a fighter during the Vietnam War, correct?
I did not go to Vietnam, but I was a fighter pilot during that period of time.
Okay.
So basically, I was a military officer, fighter pilot, airline pilot, with a master's in business, and now I'm a state rep.
Okay. Well, I'll let you introduce yourself. A little better job of it than I. But the one thing that I'd like to really commend you on, too, is 40 years of marriage to your wife, Barb. So it's not common that marriages produce that kind of fruit. You got a few kids, several grandchildren, and you've been very, very, very busy and very active. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with us on current legislation? Now the legislation that was passed today, what particular, is there anything in particular, is it just the standard right to work legislation that you guys passed, or is it?
That's basically it. I think that's still got to go through the Senate, but it will pass there. But I think one of the areas I think you wanted to discuss today is the House Bill 4769.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
American Law for American Courts. Yeah, that bill has been a kind of a frustrating bill for me because we have it's part of the national GOP platform to stop foreign laws from getting into our courts, and it's also part of the state GOP platform. We had several hundred delegates signed. Each delegate represents about 800 people or so. And I had a lot of support here in the state, but it basically got squelched by the Speaker of the House because the Catholic bishops here came out against this bill. But it's the only state that has occurred, and the other states that passed it. So we don't really know why they came out against it. They say that's because they think their canon law will be affected. However, it does not affect canon law. We had some of the best minds in Michigan, for that matter, of the Supreme Court, involved in this discussion at Thomas More Law Center. Professor Wagner from the Cooley Law School here that does cases before the Supreme Court. And what the bill actually does is it says to those progressive transnational judges that try to make law from the court that they will not use foreign law in a court of law if it causes the litigant to lose their constitutional, either state or federal constitutional rights. So that's what the bill does, and we've had about 73, 74 cases of that in the United States, and 50 of those were in 23 states where the implementation of Sharia law. So as soon as I put the bill in, it's religiously neutral, but it just says foreign law. They had demonstrations here in Dearborn and Detroit area.
Correct. Now that is also, that's a subtitle for this would be American Laws for American Courts, correct?
That's correct. And I'm going to be walking back on the House floor here to vote, so it's going to get a little noisy again.
So that's fine, sir. Again, I appreciate you calling in. Now, one of the things that I found puzzling with this whole thing is a lot of the opposition that I've found really comes from many, even within the liberty movement. And I find that puzzling because, really, if you look over in Middle East or any of the other countries that are controlled by Sharia law, there is no liberty. I mean, you're going to be – yeah, there's none. And I really – it's not so much – I don't see it as an attack on Islam as much as it is trying to protect our sovereignty.
Right. That's exactly correct. What I'm trying to protect is, again, a liberal judge – that tries to insert a foreign law, and it causes one of their litigants to lose their rights. I mean, we've had cases in, for example, New Jersey, where a woman was getting beat by her husband. She wanted a restraining order, and the lower court judge didn't know how to deal with that, so he said, well, you're both Muslims. You figure it out, and he basically ruled that he could because that was part of their religion.
Wow.
So what ended up happening there is she had to go to the next court up, and then they had to throw it out. The point is, it should have never got there.
Right.
So what this bill is, I'm really doing with this bill, is telling those lower court judges, don't use this foreign law. And if you do and start inserting it where you shouldn't, we have a case to try to get rid of you and get you off the court. And it's a clarification of public policy. That's the key. The purpose of the legislature is to clarify public policy. So that's exactly what this bill does. And by the way, I've even had, we had about 160 people here in the Capitol talking about this issue as well, and we had somebody from the American Islamic Leadership Coalition. She was actually a Muslim. She was speaking in favor of the bill. We have a host of people speaking in favor. A former Muslim Brotherhood terrorist who's now a Christian spoke about how this is necessary, how they try to get into our court system, our school systems, our books, and so forth.
Sure.
But it was just basically, I think, the Catholic bishops that came out against it because, quite frankly, I don't think they did the due diligence on the bill. It does not affect their canon law at all. Never would, never could. And I think the other issue is the Speaker of our House here is Catholic, and he just went along with them, and so he stuffed the bill and would not permit a vote on it, even though I had enough votes on the floor to pass it. which is very frustrating.
Yeah, that is very frustrating. Is there any hopes? I mean, any thoughts that it's going to be able to at least go up for vote later?
Well, our tour here, so to speak, is over by the end of this month, and then it'll have to be reintroduced next year, next term, which I will not be here. I'm termed out. And I'll just be doing the Republican National Committeeman job. So I've already had somebody that's going to try to take it up again. But again, there's resistance among the leadership. And quite frankly, I think the leadership is they just don't understand the threat nor the implications of those progressive, liberal, transnational judges that are making law from the court. So,
you know, it's not like we got to be far-reaching. I mean, it's not like we have to have a great imagination. I mean, this is stuff that is going on. You know, it's much like the Supreme Court too, which is making rulings based on foreign law, and that is not supposed to happen.
No,
but
there is a term called comity. It's comity, where if there's nothing in the Constitution one way or the other, you can refer to another law from another country. But again, all this bill does is says that if this occurs, it cannot take your constitutional rights away. So here, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to defend the people's right to for the judge to abide by a constitution. And we've been denied that. And like I said, there's been over 73 cases in the United States, and 50 of those have been Sharia law attempted to be inserted in the lower court and actually made it to the appeals court. So for everyone that makes it to the appeals court, there's hundreds of others that never make it there for one reason or another. Probably one is they don't have the money, or they're afraid to take it there for fear of persecution.
Correct. Well, I just wonder if do you believe that this would have the wording to be able to withstand any kind of legal challenges?
Yes. It already has. It's passed in four or five other states, and it doesn't specifically pick on Sharia law. It just says any foreign law.
Right.
The one that failed specifically dealt with Sharia law, but mine deals with any foreign law, because we have foreign law coming in from Russia, Pakistan, China, that they try to insert, and this just eliminates all of that hassle and just says, hey, don't do it. It's going to cause any of your litigants to lose their constitutional rights.
Now, as far as Michigan itself, you've got a pretty large Islamic population in sections. I believe Dearborn is one of the areas. Have you been taking a lot of heat from these?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I put this bill in, and it never mentioned Sharia law, there were demonstrations immediately. Now, what does that tell you?
It
tells you that is their goal.
Right.
Because if they were really here to abide by our own constitution, this would not be an issue to them. But it is an issue. So, to me, this just tells you what their goals are. And if you look at England, France, the Netherlands, Denmark, you'll see where we're going to be. I just challenge you to Google that, for example, England/Sharia law, and see how far that has gone amok here in the last 2-3 years. We're going to be there in 4 or 5 years.
Well, they actually have situations in England now where they're actually using the government to enforce the rulings in those courts, don't they?
Yes. Well, they have Sharia law zones, Sharia law courts. You get caught in that section of town, and they'll try you based on their law. And again, I just want people to know out there that if you look at what Sharia law is, it's about 14% religion and about 84 to 86% how you live, how you eat, how you treat infidels, and so forth and so forth. So it's not compatible with our Constitution in the United States as we know it. But that's part of their goal, is to take us over from within, from without. So,
And again, that's why I'm so confused by the lack of many in the liberty movement to get behind this, because there is absolutely
I had a lot of support. I'm just telling you, here in the state of Michigan, I think the issue was the Speaker of the House just refused to allow a vote because he just didn't want to do it, because he thought, well, you know, the Catholic bishops are against it, and I'm Catholic, so I won't do that. And we tried to explain in meetings with the chair of the judiciary how important it was, and answered all the questions, but it didn't make any difference.
Wow, I would really be curious to hear directly from the bishops on what the opposition was, what they based their opposition
on. Well, they based it on the fact they said they thought it might affect their canon law.
Right.
And again, like I said, the best minds in the business have said that's absolutely not true. We have 200 years. That's church. Well, what goes on in there, it has nothing to do with the law when you enter a courtroom. It's never affected it in 200 years. This will not affect it either. in the other states that have put it into place, it doesn't affect Canada law at all. I think it's just, quite frankly, not due diligence by in the case of the Catholic bishops in this case.
Now, if somebody signs an agreement to arbitrate, now does that's where they're getting around, I think, a lot of this in different areas, is they go into an arbitrary agreement that they will allow these specific arbitrators to decide their cases. Does this affect anything to do with that?
No. For example, in my bill, I also have that if a company wants to do business overseas and they want to agree to whatever rules they have in that country, that's fine. The issue arises when they enter our courts, in our court of law. Our courts and our laws apply, not the foreign law. So, I mean, if these two parties want to agree to this, as long as nobody enters our court of law, fine, let them do it. But once you enter our court of law, it's our laws that will reign,
right,
not foreign law.
As well it should be. And it's insane that we're even having to argue this or trying to put these protections in.
It absolutely is, but it is necessary when you see how far we've come in such a short time in this country and other countries. And what's going on in the Middle East, I mean, we're losing our importance over there, if you will, and even our influence, because like Egypt and Syria, Afghanistan, they're all going down to the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, they don't like us. They don't like Israel, and they're sworn to destroy both of us, so we have an issue. But again, this is not just for that. Any other foreign law, Chinese law, whatever the case might be. So
the problem is liberal judges. Right.
The problem is liberal judges. That's the issue.
That is the issue. And all you're trying to do is assure that the Constitution is upheld and we remain sovereign, it sounds like to me.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And who can be against maintaining your constitutional rights?
Or
only
your
those
sovereignty.
Who want to pervert the Constitution.
Sure. No, that's a shame. Is there any way that anybody can give you any assistance or any support?
Well, I would just encourage people in their own state and even write letters to this state to have them support these kind of bills, because actually I'm protecting the church as well, because you don't want some of these things to occur that have been occurring throughout the United States in your state. So I just encourage people to look into this, see what's coming our way, see what the threat really is, and most people don't know what the threat is. So,
and unfortunately, some people don't believe that it's real. And
YouTube it. Have them YouTube it. Have them go on YouTube and just look up England/Sharia law or the Netherlands, like I said, or Denmark, and then just see, and you'll be just amazed. I mean, I think the one country that finally put their foot down. Two countries, actually, Japan, and the other one would be Australia. They basically said, come here, live by our laws, or get out.
And you know what? There's not, I'm sorry, but I don't find that offensive.
No, not at all.
It's
not
just,
at all.
Maybe it's that Midwest mentality. I don't know.
It is. But anyway, this is one important bill I really wanted to get passed before I leave here. And to me, it was just scuttled by one person, which shouldn't be, but that's what happened.
Well, it's a shame, Dave, and I know that we certainly appreciate you joining us. I don't know if anybody else had any questions or anything, but if you've got anything else that you'd like to share with us, please feel free.
No, other than the only other most important bill I had in that we didn't get to because of probably due to the Farm Bureau here in Michigan was I'm trying to stop the illegal migration because 2010, I think the last study that was done here, we discovered we were spending about $929 million a year in healthcare, education, welfare, jails, and human services on the illegals. And only 3% nationwide of illegals work on farms. The rest of them are working in factories and so forth.
Well, construction is huge.
Oh, yeah. Huge, yeah. Huge. And landscaping and things like that. But we need jobs, right, in the country. And we've got millions of people that are illegally taking those jobs and usually driving down the wages of the middle class or the lower middle class, and those are quite often, quite frankly, the legal Hispanics and the African Americans.
Right. Now, you've got different states that are finally starting to put forth some studies on these, in particular the costs. In California, you have, in the L.A. area, you have several hospitals that have closed because of the amount of illegals that
they got
utilize their services.
Yep. They got billions that they're spending on this now. And then I had a friend that I actually hunt with once in a while. He was an OBGYN. He moved out of southern Texas. He says, I'm just getting sick of the hospital shutting down because nobody's paying the bills. They come over, and then they have what they call an anchor baby, and we pay for it, and then they stay.
Right.
And it just keeps adding and adding and adding. And I have no problem with immigration. I just have a lot of problem with illegal immigration.
Right. I concur. And again, this is one of those other issues that's really easy to be targeted and maligned. I mean, unjustly.
Yeah. But it's somebody who comes here that's illegal has broken the law. You shouldn't reward it. When you reward it, more will come. So my attitude is I have sworn to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's a domestic enemy. We have to deal with them.
I had a Korean doctor, and this is the truth. The TV was on, and I was in his lobby, and then I went in to the visit, and he's in his 70s, actually. I mean, he was close to retirement, but a very courteous man, and he shook his head, and he said, you know, took me 12 years to get my citizenship. He said, now people cross the border and demand their rights. And he just shook his head, and then he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, don't be. I mean, it's an asset. It makes this country great, and it makes this country strong that we have legal immigration.
Absolutely.
And those that are willing to partake in the system as it's set up. But it's whenever you try to skirt it, it's really a humane issue, too, because often – you know, they get isolated, singled out. Now you've got a situation where they don't really meld into the society because, you know, you have satellite TV and everything else that you've got. You have very little reason to meld into the society and become part of the fabric. So
it's a form of slavery, if you will, too, because you
get
contractors that'll abuse them, and then they'll. The thing I'm seeing here in Michigan is a good contractor will go ahead and not be able to get the bid because the other contractor underbids them, pays like $5-6 an hour, and now the good contractor tries to do things by the book, loses the contract, lays off his people, they get unemployment, it just keeps going and going.
Right, absolutely, it does. There's a big side to that, and we also want to know that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I support you on that movement too.
Sure.
Again, we're talking about doing things legally and doing things within our Constitution. So, if they want to change that, you can't just ignore law. Whenever they ignore law, it creates all kinds of other issues and problems.
Absolutely.
And we're looking at it. We're looking at that result.
We are.
But Dave, if there's anything that we can do, if anybody listening can do to help you on that particular bill, also. Certainly appreciate your hard work and
diligence.
I would
say write, email, call, and then write letters to the editor, your local newspapers, and so forth, because people need to hear what the issues are, and often they don't hear about it until it becomes a major problem. So that's what I would ask.
Too many times it's just thrown off as racism or other issues like that, and it's just an effort to marginalize and shut down the conversation.
Absolutely.
But I
appreciate your time.
Oh, Dave, I
appreciate
you calling in. Thank you very much.
Hopefully we can do it again when it's not so noisy on the house floor. We can actually probably hear me.
Well, you know where to find
me.
While
we were talking, I just want you to know I voted on 4 bills.
Hey, as long as none of them was present. You didn't vote present, did you?
No, I didn't do that. And you're talking to the most conservative legislator in the House of Representatives in the state of Michigan. So I'm pretty conservative.
I just hate the present vote, you know. I mean, a broom's
present. Yeah, I hear you. That means I'm afraid to vote, so I won't vote at all, right?
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, thanks for
Hey, my
for,
pleasure.
And thanks for calling in. We'll talk again.
You bet. Have a good
evening. Bye. Bye-bye. Dave Agema, again, a House rep out of Michigan, and he's got some unique situations and problems in that state, even though it's centrally located, pretty much. I mean, at least toward the center of the country, it's some of the same issues that, especially the huge. It's got a very large population of immigrants, particularly from the Middle East, Richard, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
You didn't have any questions?
Hard getting jumping in there. You guys were going pretty good, and they've really answered most of my questions. That I had thought about as far as what his bill was doing. I thought we had a bill very similar to that.
We did have, and I'm trying to recall.
It went through. I think Paul Kirtman is the one that pushed that.
Yes.
And I don't think it went through, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
I think it didn't. I mean, I don't recall that it did either. And there was a lot of opposition to that bill too from the same groups. And again, I just, for the life of me, Richard, I don't see where those in the Liberty Movement are so opposed to this type of legislation.
I don't get it either, Kevin.
It's not really pulling any rights away from
it's protecting
the individuals.
Like you said, it's protecting our constitutional rights. If it interferes with somebody's constitutional rights here, then they can't take that into account.
Right.
I always thought that was just common sense, because we have the United States Constitution, we have state constitutions, and our law is based on the Constitution. So, how can any court, any judge come in and start taking into account laws from the Middle East or Europe or Asia or any other country? It's baffling to me, and I didn't realize it was as widespread as it was until I started doing some looking around, and there is a lot of cases where that has happened.
Well, like I said, in England now, you literally have their government that is enforcing judgment that comes out of Sharia courts. You have the government, their government, enforcing these decisions. Whether it's monetary or whatever, they're coming after the individuals for not keeping up with their part of the judgment. And that's we're talking about a totally different beast there. There's nothing good that can come out of that. Nothing.
No.
and show me any country that Sharia law is in effect, and show me where liberty is, because I don't see it.
Well, like he had mentioned, in Britain and France, there's no-go zones for law enforcement where they have their own closed community, and the laws in that community are based on Sharia law. It's not based on the Constitution. I don't understand how that can be allowed to happen and how that can continue.
They're almost like territories.
Right.
Literally.
If you want to immigrate into America, and I come from immigrants, my grandparents came over from Poland in the early 1900s, and my mom and her family lived in Detroit. In fact, I was born just outside of Dearborn. That's my home area, and when I see news reports and YouTube videos of the stuff that goes on there today, it's really scary that's allowed to go on. And you've got to be, we're a melting pot. They can't have little areas. You used to always have, where my grandparents lived, it was all Polish immigrants, and they had their churches, their little small. It was one of my favorite things. We left there when I was about six, and whenever we went back to visit, we'd always go down to the bakery and to the butcher shop and the candy store, and that was one of the best things growing up, was going back and doing that stuff
right in
that old neighborhood. And of course, now it's not even the same. They used to have to – my grandma's house has got all barred doors and barred windows now because, it's a new group of immigrants has come into that area. But, it's just amazing. I got a message that said that bill made it through the House of Representatives in Missouri, but it died in the Senate. So we didn't get it through either, just like what happened in Michigan.
So it didn't even get to come up to a vote in the Senate. Yeah,
right. The House put it through, and then it didn't make it through the Senate. So
And there you had such a huge majority, Republican majority in the Senate also.
Oh, yeah, that's what just don't get it all you're doing.
Many just don't want, they're scared of the, you know, being caught up in a fire whenever it comes to this type of legislation. But, you know, I personally believe that they're not being effective in their jobs if they don't allow things to come up to a vote just because they're afraid they're going to take a little heat.
Right, right.
That should be like the last consideration whenever it comes to bringing up important legislation. Again, let's kick the can down the road.
Right.
And that's unfortunate as heck. And again, I had many that were he took a little heat from areas that I didn't think that Paul would because of this legislation, and I don't get it.
No.
I mean, I've tried to look at it reasonably. That it's almost like such a biased mentality, and they try to marginalize. They'll throw the old Muslims under the bed, and you're afraid of Muslims. That's nowhere near the truth.
Right.
It's nowhere near the truth. It's dealing with liberty issues, to be honest. I mean, it's not, again, we're in this country. We need to abide by our laws.
Seems simple, doesn't it?
It's simple. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
It's simple. And we've got a lot of different things facing us now. The other thing, as far as you were talking about immigrants earlier, I mean, if you go up on the hill in St. Louis, it's always been a very, very, very famous area for Italian cuisine. And also, you've got a lot of people that migrated that lived in that area. And unfortunately, the landscape is changing in a lot of that area, too. It's becoming a lot more high crime. And I'm not saying that there's not good safe eating establishments in it, but we were located almost on the hill in a meeting, and we were getting so many smash and grabs in the parking lot and everything else that when we relocated our school, I was pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
So and there's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. Whenever I was talking about that may have come up from Mexico illegally. Whenever I was talking about them staying in groups, I'm not begrudging anybody the right to associate or to keep some of that history and stuff with them. What I'm saying is that whenever we don't make it, whenever they're not legal and we're not making it an important issue to have them melded into the society, there's a lack of loyalty to the country, for one.
It takes away their liberty too, because they don't have the ability to move about freely and to experience what America is really about if they have to hide up with a bunch of other folks that are in the same situation, and then they go to their job, and then when they're done, they go right back to their place of where they're staying. So,
and they're ripe for abuse.
Right, and they're exactly, because they're afraid to stand up for themselves and call the police or anybody else because they don't want to get caught.
Where if they were
here legally and had and got the paperwork that they needed, they would have no worries, and they could move around and move about freely. And, it's a whole lot more enjoyable, and it makes it easier to – I mean, they could have lived that same way in their native country. So now, now all of a sudden they're in another foreign land, and they're in the same boat. Well, who would want to be loyal to that?
I think it is a compassion issue, and they're subjective to more crime. They're just not given the opportunity, really, for the American dream, and that doesn't mean bypassing or ignoring laws that have been broken.
Right.
And I'm not talking about that either, but what I am, what I am saying is, whenever people have migrated in the past and they do it legally, It's to their benefit to learn the language and to integrate into society as quickly as possible, even if they retain some of their customs.
Right.
You know, that's not a problem. But now, as whenever we have English as secondary language, whenever many that stay here for a long period of time cannot speak the native language, once again, that's a huge hindrance.
Right.
And limits their options on both help and employment and anything and everything else. Now you've got some states, including Illinois, who is just recently going to start issuing driver's licenses to those that are here illegally. I don't get that for the life of me. I don't get that. How can anyone to say that this keeps them from driving illegally, now they're more likely to have insurance or.
How about if an illegal immigrant goes into a state office to get a driver's license? Come on, is there something just wrong with that picture?
Right.
You know, I mean, come on, wouldn't that be a place for ICE to hang out? I mean,
right.
It just boggles the mind that the government will continue to accept this behavior. Everybody's a criminal. Except if you come across the border, then you're just somebody looking for a better life. Well, I'm sorry, but you keep hearing about this amnesty and comprehensive immigration reform and all this stuff. I mean, okay, first thing, can we shut down the border? We have the technology. We have, you know, we're spending billions and billions of dollars on green energy companies that are going out of business. How about we invest that money a little bit and get a beefed up border control and secure the southern border, secure the northern border. Let's just, you know, fix that first. But if you grant this amnesty that Obama's talking about, I mean, come on. You think there's a lot of folks coming across now? You just wait.
Well, it's going to continue. I mean, we saw that even under Ronald Reagan, and I am a big Reagan fan. I always have been, but those are, you know, it didn't clear up, it didn't solve it. Again, you saw an encouragement because we did not control the borders.
Right.
So anything that we do before then is not going to be successful. It's just not, and I don't especially the driver's license thing.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't get that at all. I also saw, where was it? Was it Illinois? Somewhere had just once again had granted illegal immigrants in-state tuition. And that's another thing. If they're not even legally in the country, how can they be a legal citizen of the state?
No. If at the most, they should get foreign student rates.
Right.
In actuality, that's what they are.
Right. Now, and you have people that may be from a neighboring state that's going to pay a much higher tuition, and they're American citizens.
Right.
Where the rationale comes from, I don't know. Not the slightest idea.
I don't know. I guess that's a Hispanic outreach. I don't know.
I guess it is. I'm just...
it baffles me. I can only watch so much news on television because it's just so infuriating that the common sense has just flown out the window. And you hear what these folks are mm-hmm. arguing about. And, you know, you're talking about this debt ceiling.
Right.
The spending cuts or
right.
lack of spending cuts.
Right.
Tax increases. Like, come on.
The removal from the budget committees of particular members, others. I mean, you know, it's something it's not encouraging, is it, Rich?
No, it's not encouraging at all.
I mean, whenever we look at everything, it's not encouraging at all. Whenever it comes to anything else, I mean, on those two particular things, I certainly I certainly think that. Did it go dead?
No, I'm here.
Anyways, hang tight. I think I lost connection. There we go. I think we're back. So I don't know what happened there. We had a little blip in the out of studio.
There we go.
But
I think we're back.
Yeah.
I hear a voice in the background.
Yeah. That's a microphone that shouldn't be on there.
Oh. But yeah, you know, you see what's going on and this debt ceiling debate, and now the president wants to take that debt ceiling leverage away from Congress and make it up to him, you know, by himself. Bad idea.
Right.
If they want to get this debt and deficit under control, why, you know, maybe they should lock down the debt ceiling and say, no, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
So if you can't, I keep hearing the Democrats right. talk about returning tax rates to what they were under Bill Clinton. You know, I tell you what, I'm all for that. If at the same time they take the spending limits and put those in too, because those tax rates worked with the government spending that was happening at that time.
Right.
They would never work. And
right.
all they're going to do is kill the economy
right.
with the spending that's going on now.
That's true. Let's lower it to the budget that it was then, too.
Yeah.
But that is never going to happen. Rich, we're going to take a very quick break. Hang tight.
All right. I'm here.
Hey, I'm going to have to. I think I should put it around the phone while I'm using this.
Oh. Direction for the show. No, Chip. Oh, in here. Let's go. Come on. Lucy. Get in here.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You, they're all.
Got those situations solved.
Hello.
Rich?
Yep.
You there, bud?
Yep. I was taking care of some business.
Yeah, I've, again, the studio away from studios, I'm finding out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
As far as that goes, but I certainly, you know, I appreciate you joining us tonight. Now, as you were saying just a minute ago before we were having some issues and some problems. Whenever it's just some of the challenges that we're facing. Again, you always hear about going back to the tax levels that we were.
Yeah.
I can't because then it'll be played on the speakers. But whenever we're always talking about going back to those, you never hear that offer to go back to the expenditures.
Oh no, absolutely not. I wonder if you put those side by side, how far away they would be from each other.
I'd
be amazed.
How come nobody is? How come? I haven't heard this from anybody else.
What you mean, going back to the spending limit levels?
Yeah.
Too? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Honestly, where's everybody at?
Yeah. Say, sure, we'll do that. We'll go back to the same rates and the same spending levels, and we'll we'll see how that goes out, and they'll well, we can't do that.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. So I don't know. I don't see anything good coming out of that. I think that, honestly, I don't. You know, it's much like many. And again, this was the one thing that concerns me with a lot of them too that I've talked to on conservatives are those in the liberty movement. Many of them are saying, you know, go off the cliff or what they call the cliff. The only thing that concerns me is the fact that you've got many on the liberal can get side that want the same thing. They're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Howard Dean said that the best deal that progressives can get is what has been agreed to, and that you know he thinks they ought to not negotiate at all.
Yeah,
I mean, they get the cuts to the military. You know, and again, who are the, I mean, the Republicans and others that agreed to these terms, as far as the just the blanket cuts to the military and so forth. I mean, you know, now they're, I knew whenever they agreed to that it was a very likely thing that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't agree to something and not expect it to happen.
Right. Well, yeah, and you're right. That's exactly what the Democrats would just love. I think it was I heard Charles Krauthammer bring up that same point that, you know, that's how they get their military cuts is just go, you know, go off the cliff and let these cuts go into place. And,
right.
You know, that's really what they want.
That is, absolutely it is. And if they're going to give that up, which is how they view it, if they're going to give that up, you're going to have to hand them, you know, you're going to have to hand them something really sweet
for them
to give that up.
Yep.
Because that's definitely on the agenda. But as far as everything else goes, Rich, is there anything else that you wanted to kick around from today's news?
What did you think of the whole Bob Costas Second Amendment deal with that Kansas City football player killed his girlfriend and the mother of his child and then shot himself? I think any time that folks like Costas get involved in speaking up during – it's a football game, Bob. People are watching the game for entertainment. They don't need somebody like his pompous butt speaking out against a constitutional right like the Second Amendment when he doesn't even address any of the other issues that were far more critical in what happened in that whole murder-suicide tragedy that took place.
Well, you know, we had a very political guy that was known for his political speak that whenever he became part of Monday Night Football, people were outraged.
Yep.
And now we've got, you know, a sports guy that's making commentary on political things on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
So it's ironic, isn't it?
Well, it depends what end you're coming from, apparently, as to what the result of that kind of a statement brings about. Because, you know, you remember what Limbaugh said. And then you saw what happened. Was it Hank Williams Jr. who made the comment about Netanyahu and Obama sitting down?
Right.
And he got canned, and he made the comment. He wasn't even on the air on the show.
No.
And they kicked him off. But then
right.
You can get, you know, somebody like Costas blaming inanimate objects for murder-suicide like that. I'm sorry, but I don't want to hear about that. You might think that is a person, and Costas obviously does. He quoted somebody else, but he mentioned at the beginning of his statement that he couldn't have said it any better.
Right.
And to me, that means he agrees with what that Whitlock said.
Right. Right.
And it turns out in a later interview, I believe it was after that, that Whitlock compared the NRA to, he said that the NRA is the KKK of today.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, really?
Right.
It's just amazing the lengths that people will go.
We're like Whitnick.
Yeah.
Or Whitnick, rather.
Yeah.
But
Whit, yeah.
But, last name first, first name last.
I know that's been a big topic here for, you know, since that took place over the weekend. And
you know how I feel about Second Amendment rights, and I know how you feel about Second Amendment rights.
Yep.
And you know, as soon as that happened, as soon as it happened, you expected two things. One of them, full-out assault, no pun intended, on gun rights. The other one would be, and I haven't seen as much as this as what I thought, but you really should have expected a lot of talk about whether football helps to generate a violent, a violent environment, and I expected to hear more along those lines too. Is it creating a violent culture? That sounds like another topic that they would have shot down. I've only heard one or two that went down that road, but I expected more, to be honest.
Yeah, because you know you had the thing with the New Orleans Saints and their
bounty.
Their bounty on taking out other teams' players, and football is a violent sport. You have to have a certain mentality if you're going to play football successfully. And I'm not talking about place kickers and things like that. I'm talking about defensive players and even offensive players. You're out there and you're battling hand-to-hand combat is what you get paid to do.
Absolutely.
And the more violent and ferocious and effective you are, the better you get paid. So that type of behavior is rewarded in football, and it starts at a young age. You know,
right.
My son started playing ball before he was 6 years old.
Right.
And so I know what goes on when these kids are when the kids are growing up and they're going through it. And every year you excel and you get farther into it, you go from high school and then you go into college and then, imagine going into the pros, the level of performance every step of the way is increased. So the cream comes to the top and then you have the head injuries and the pressure and, the health of it. I mean, you got to stay
right.
healthy. You got to be able to play.
Right.
And, who knows? This kid was 25 years old.
Right. And again, I'm not advocating that we dismantle football as a sport, by no means. But to come out and jump on guns, it's just and you know what? There's a lot of people that don't play football. There's a lot of people that aren't put under a lot of these same influences that choose the same path.
Right.
So again, we can try to blame other things, often it's not. I don't think it's beneficial many times.
No.
I mean, pretty soon what comes down the pike is we need to quit keeping score at first grade soccer games, and that's eventually the kind of stuff that they put forth.
Yeah, but people will still be competitive even at that.
Oh, absolutely they will.
And so, things happen.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And, things happen, and this was a terrible situation. I'm glad to see that the Chiefs didn't honor him in some way.
Right.
I know there was talk of wearing his number on everybody's jerseys the
right.
next day, and I heard that the owner came out and put the kibosh on that. He said, look, folks, this guy killed an innocent person.
Right, right.
And you can't honor that.
No.
I know that, he was their teammate and that.
Right.
But the guy messed up.
Right.
He made committed a horrific crime, and that's what it is. That's what it's about. So, and like you said, he could have used his bare hands. He could have used a bat. He could have used a knife. Any number of things. If if somebody's going to do that, they're going to find a way to do it. It doesn't matter if they have a gun, if they have whatever they've got.
Well, we had another famous football player that was on trial for murder of his wife that used a knife.
Right.
At least whoever killed her used a knife. The majority of the people believe that it was him.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's you don't have to have a gun.
No.
To do that. I mean, people's intent to murder, it happens every day, all the time.
Well, maybe if Nicole Simpson had had a gun, a concealed carry permit,
absolutely,
she could have fixed that whole situation.
Yeah, it would have been a little more of a leveler, wouldn't it?
Right, absolutely.
That's true.
Who knows? But the thing is, it should be that person's choice.
Right, know? Right. And again, you know, most of the time, any time a crime is committed, it's not with a legal gun. Did you see in St. Louis where there was a president of a bank, People's Bank? Did you see any of that? Where they got robbed?
No, I don't think I did.
I'm going to have to get a hold of this guy and see if we can't get him on. But his branch was robbed. It was a bank that was started by his grandfather. Now he's president of a branch up here. And I think the first one was maybe out around St. Charles, but the name of it's People's Bank, and they have signs on their front door of their bank that says we respect Second Amendment rights, you know, and on the front door of the bank,
right,
and he also has a policy that every single one of his officers in his bank have to go through concealed carry training,
right.
And he was in the bank one day whenever a guy came in and robbed it. And he followed the guy out to his car, well, actually his truck. And after he got in his truck, he stuck a gun to his head and said, "You're not going nowhere." And he said the guy kind of flinched, and he said, "I wouldn't do that if I was you." And he sat tight. The cops showed up. They arrested him. You know, drama's over.
Yeah.
But the guy, it was great when I heard him talking to him. I mean, it's like, first of all, he's a minister, you know.
Right.
He's an ordained minister, and another thing is he was kind of chuckling. He's like, "Man, I, you know, with the sign on the door and everything else, I was shocked the guy was robbing the bank."
You know what I mean? Yeah, not real smart. He's liable
to
walk in there and pull a gun and have eight trained on him. You know.
Yeah. The bottom line is that criminals look for the easiest target. They look for the least resistance. They're cowards.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Sure.
And if they, you know, and if they believe that you've got one person that may be carrying and one person that's definitely not, who do you think they're going to go after?
The
one that's not.
Yep.
I mean, you can hear all the arguments all you want about somebody taking your gun away and using it on you. I mean, give me a break. Especially if somebody's been trained to conceal carry. I mean, that's going to be extremely rare, and I'll still take my chances.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have that option, you know.
Absolutely. But Richard, I think we're going to go ahead and call it an evening. I certainly appreciate you joining us this evening.
All right.
And thanks for everybody else that tuned in to Hillbilly Logic this evening, and to Representative Dave Agema for calling in and updating us about those two particular bills that he was trying to push through, the HM 4769 or the ALEC legislation, the American Laws for American Courts. Again, I don't see how anybody can find that that's offensive.
Yeah.
I really don't. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know how you go from point A to point B and call that offensive.
I don't know.
And also, you know, the attempts to at least try to put forth some type of solutions to the illegal immigration problem that so many states have.
Well, especially a state like Michigan where they have such high unemployment. You know, you would think that and the contractor point that he brought up was dead on.
It was dead on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're close to that industry. We see that
yep.
all the time. And I'm going to tell you what, too. There is there is something going on in an upper level too. Many times now on huge projects, you've got the owner or general on these projects that are having all the subs and all the deliveries, everybody that supplies the place, sign non-disclosures where they cannot discuss the job at all.
Yeah.
And in that process, too, they don't say that it's so that they can't talk about possible illegals, but that's the nut and bolts of it.
Right.
They are trying to silence people from even being able to blow a whistle on illegal activities.
Yeah, and that in itself, if I'm not mistaken, is against the law.
Yes, but
you can't agree to cover up criminal activity.
Right, but yet they're saying that it's for another reason.
Yeah,
and getting people to sign these things. And I personally know people that have signed these. I know people.
Yeah.
And I know people that have also been suppliers for a company that had to sign them to go on just huge jobs.
Yeah.
And that's it's not to protect anything, but I believe this one topic. And that's a shame.
That's a big CYA on their part. That's exactly
absolutely right. It is. And there ought to be something done. You know, I'm not big on saying, you know, the government ought to do something to stop this. But I will say this, that's an illegal activity as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And it's violating people's rights. So therefore I'm saying that if at best the government should step in on behalf of those individuals' rights.
Yeah.
To not be silenced in that fashion. But anyways, Rich, appreciate you coming in, brother. Join us next week as we will kick back up also on our series, or at least our second edition of our survival series. Those were a lot of fun, weren't they, Rich?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed them. Yep, I sure did.
So we got in the first one week before last, so we're going to start back up. Next week we're going to air the survival series, the second edition. So, or at least the second episode. I shouldn't say edition, but we'll have to get into those a little bit more down the road. Thanks for joining us on Hillbilly Logic tonight. Thanks for and again, on behalf of Richard Blowers and myself, Kevin Harned, I want you all to have a great evening.
This is the Grassroots Minute. Governor Jay Nixon says expanding Medicaid eligibility in Missouri is both the smart thing and the right thing to do. Nixon announced his support for the expansion by saying it would provide health care coverage for an additional 300,000 Missourians. Well, Governor, the smart thing was for you to avoid the Affordable Health Care Act during the election and pretending to be a moderate candidate. You sure pulled the wool over the voters' eyes. Well, I even know some Republicans who voted for you. But if they knew the burden that you were willing to place on the backs of their children and grandchildren, they wouldn't have given you the time of the day, much less their vote. Smart move on your part, Governor. Now the sad part is that along with the governor, several Republican legislators, State Representative Jay Barnes, Republican Jefferson City for one, have publicly announced support of establishing some form of Affordable Health Care Act. Despite 71% of voters in 2010 approving Proposition C, which rejected the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act's mandate, and this past November 6th, a 62% voter approval of Proposition E, which prohibits creation of a state health care exchange without authorization of the legislators or the voters. A policy analyst for Missouri Foundation for Health said because Obama was reelected, the law would continue to be implemented. Proposition E and Proposition C in 2010 really don't figure into this discussion at all. And those are just symbolic votes. To Governor Nixon and others who think going against the voters of this state is no big deal, we'll see just how symbolic our votes are. This is Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute. Be
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.